All right. Fine. Yesterday we focused on Bishvili Libra, that Chiddush that Avraham Avinu was Megala, the Achrayas that every year has for even we see Avraham Avinu even daven for Stoyt, quite a pillar. We couldn't, I don't know if we can relate to that. I don't know if we could relate to davening, you know, that Hashem wants to destroy Iran and we daven that Hashem shouldn't, you know, if you can find one or two tzaddikim in Iran, you know, keep them all going. I don't know how we relate to that. But okay, that's hard enough. But we saw the Chofetz Chaim, not so easy for us to relate to either. Now how an earthquake in Nepal or in whatever somehow has something to do with me, and I somehow have to on a fish there. Difficult to relate to. And it needs a lot of work. Needs a lot of work in understanding the interconnectedness of the universe. Someone mentioned a beautiful idea, mentioned this to his wife, and she said, butterfly effect. You know, the butterfly effect, the butterfly waps its wings here, and then the airwaves that causes goes and does other things and bumps other things, and eventually, you know, in Brazil there's a typhoon or whatever, because there's an interconnectedness in the Bria that we don't see, but it's there, and therefore, yeah, when things happen in the world that affects us, that affects what we hear about, it means it has something to do with me, and to stop and think. Can you please mute David's iPad? I thought I muted everybody. Okay, everyone's muted now. Not them, just the machines. I don't want to mute anybody. We want everybody to have a say. Okay, so that's obviously this needs a lot of work, a lot of thought. You know, not every time something happens in the world, you have to go into panic attack. Jonathan, I'm not sure what you want here. What is this? It's a question. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Just 1 second. What is
it? No, I'm just saying thank you very much for meeting everyone, but there was just a background noise.
Ah, Beseda, okay, fine. All right. So when you hear about an earthquake, something, you don't have to go to panic attack and start beating yourself up and feeling guilty and feeling horrible. That's not what this means. It means you stop and you use it as a hizdam, an opportunity to do some cheshbon and see Hashem is trying to tell me something. If I heard about it, it must be that it's got something to do with me. Fine. There's a lot more on that subject, but everyone has to find his own. There's a lot here. We're dealing with a lot of stuff, and you can't pick up and start working. And each new thing that we find here as you go along, you'll overwhelm yourself. Some things you have to shelve for later, some things you say, block is not for me now. Other things really resonate, and you pick those up and you work with them. Fine, Kufyut. Metecha. Oisit Fisa Vakora Kani, Yochid Baloma Shela Kodesh Bochu, we truly call Tachli Sabria, with that graph that we have, that I am a Yochid in the world of Hashem, and on me is dependent the entire purpose of the Bria. Amar Avraham Avinu kol nisyo nasof. That was Avraham Avinu, who was able to withstand all the tests. Atchiyeri Kodesh Baruch Hu kivshan aish vatzibet. Kodesh Baruch Hu himself came down into the kivshan aish and was matzil Avraham Avinu. Vayisa shama Kodesh Baruch Hu lemalach hasharis. The Midrash tells us at that moment, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the angels, whatever those are, malach hasharis, ani yochid v'Avraham yochid. I'm alone and Avraham is alone. Rei le yochid lahatzil esay yochid. It's only fitting that a yochid should go and matzil a yochid. We're the only two people in the world, doctors. So it's fitting that I should go down and be matzil. Kiviyochol, bayu olamim hu yochid. Hu haya levad. Hashem's alone, obviously. But yeah, there's an added k'naitia. Ki lo haya mi sheyikish haKodesh Baruch Hu tzrich oto. Of course Hashem's alone. Hashem's everything. That's everything, then you're alone. That's a double portion. Aval, there's another added dimension to what the alone means here, is in the world that Hashem had created, in the world that Hashem had decided to relate to magal himself into, not in his essence, but in the Giloy, there Kodesh Baruch was alone in the sense that no one recognized that they were needed, that Hashem somehow kiviyochol needed them to come on board and also do something to fulfill the purpose of the Bria. Until Avraham Avinu who was also alone in the world. V'shneim kol subneim bris av nitzchis, they entered into a everlasting covenant of love. Avraham Avinu nikra Abam Ohivai. Until Avraham Avinu is called by Hashem himself, my beloved Avraham love. That's it. It's a love relationship. Avraham Ohivai. Kol b'nei deri lo aminu ki tochen lo v'sabor. Not that they didn't believe in Hashem. Not that they had any problems with Hashem. They just didn't think that they were shaykh to have a love relationship with Hashem. And Godel, Ram v'niso. Hashem is great, unbelievably great, and elevated and transcendent, and have no shaykhs to us b'chlal. You think that you can love the creator of the universe. That's like some ant in Mexico thinking that he can love an elephant in the savannah, you know, in the Sudan or something. It's just not shaykh. It's too ram v'niso, it's too far. Not just to love Hashem, but to actually get involved in a relationship with him, like a husband and a wife, whatever that means, we spoke about a little bit. That for them was completely just not the laws and that was mahalakha, not to a large extent, but that they just couldn't believe, and you can yeah, why they couldn't believe it. We have the Masoros today, we can believe it because we see Avada, not a problem. We have Masoros restored to us. To actually live like that's not so posh, but Avraham Avinu had to dredge this up and be machanish this for himself. Come to that akara, not just intellectually, but quite an achievement. Achibo Avraham Avinu, cheker chippes, he learned, he went, he sought, he examined. That's the purpose of the Bria, not just something nice that you can do, but that is the Ika. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the world. And you can bestow goodness and you can give to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, nurture our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that was what Avraham Avinu discovered. That's how Hashem set up the Bria. Obviously, we've mentioned this many times. Doesn't mean you can give Hashem anything. But in the way Hashem set up the world, and that aspect that he was Megaleh in the world, he did it in such a way. Same as Hashem can mitzamtzem himself in order to allow for the world to exist, which is impossible. But Hashem does that. Because if you're infinite, then there's no place for anything else, because you are everything. There is nothing else. So how does Hashem create the world that, so to speak, appears to be independent of him? So that's also impossible. But you see that Hashem was able to do things in the Bria, which doesn't impact on his essence at all. We're not talking about giving Hashem his essence anything. That obviously, but in the way that the Bria runs, in the way that the world runs, we have a partnership, and we need to do what we need to do. Otherwise, the Bria is just not going to go where it has to go to. The Kach Nikra Avraham Avinu Nadiv. Nadiv, Nadiv, somebody who gives. A Nadiv is a donor, philanthropist, benefactor. Kamayim HaChazal B'Mizach HaChagiga. You know, it says like this in Shirashim, it says, "My yofi pamech panalayim bas nadiv." How beautiful are the bells on your sandals, the daughter of Nadiv. Dorush Rabba. Good morning, Chagiga Dav Gimel. My diksiv, my yofi pamech panalayim bas nadiv. What does this mean, this pasuk, my yofi pamech panalayim bas nadiv? Kame noein ragileyen shel Yisrael b'shashi l'regel. How pleasant, how beautiful are the raglaim, the legs of Klal Yisrael when they oil the regal. Whatever that means, it doesn't mean how nice is the piece of steak on your feet that are going up to be Klal Yisrael. So Gemara, you have to understand it. Bas Nadiv, Bito Yishol Avraham Avinu Shenikra Nadiv. That's the part we want from this Gemara. Who's Bas Nadiv? Who's the daughter of the giving one, of the benefactor? That's the daughter of Avraham Avinu, Shenikra Nadiv. Shenema Nadivei Amim Nosfu Im Elokei Avraham. It says Elokei Avraham, Velo Elokei Yitzhak VeYaakov. El Elokei Avraham Sheyat Tchile Legeirim. Yitzhak and Yaakov don't get a mention here, even though they also had this quality. But Avraham was the first one. Avraham was the first of the Geirim. Avraham was Magaya. Remember, Avraham wasn't a Balchuv. Avraham was the first Geir. He left Besar, left the Derech that had been developed up to then, what we call Noach Tzadik, and he created a new reality called Yisrael Oyved Hashem. הרב איניס נדב כביכול להתקשה עם הקודש ברוך הוא בזכות זויס נקרא לו השם נדיב. אברהם אבינו, so to speak, it was מתנדב, volunteered, it's not the right word, volunteered. He undertook whatever, not exactly sure how he translate the word, to develop and build a relationship with Hashem, and in the merit of that, the name, the title that was given to him was Nadiv. He becomes a Nadiv. He's not just somebody that gives now and again, he is a Nadiv. That's his essence now. And who's he giving to? Hashem. Halibah de Emes, Chidush Otsum Chidush Avraham Avinu B'darkei Zu. We're going to stop and think about this. You'll see this is a massive Chidush. This is not a poshut thing at all. Chidush Hu, She'ef Shul Ha'ivaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, U'me'idach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'ev Otanu. The first Chidush that everything else is built on is the fact that you can love Hashem. Not just can't, you have to. But the fact that you can is a massive Chidush. And second of all, that Hashem loves us. Today she not been hated is going to Chiddush. So what's a big Chiddush? So I love Hashem and Hashem loves me. It's such a big Chiddush. In order to understand the big Chiddush here, Aleinu la'amik ledas mahi purush reshal ava al pi hashkafas haTorah. First we have to know what is ava, what does the word mean? You have to have a definition for everything, whatever you're learning, anything. You want to understand something, you have to define it, you have to know what you're talking about. Now obviously ava is multifaceted, and it has many aspects to it. We're going to focus on the core aspect of it, one major application of it. We touched on this at length when we did Bais Yehudi, when we did Chelek Beis of this Sefer, Chelek Gimel. This Yosod, it's very relevant here as well, so we're going to just revise it as well. We name Uvur B'divrei Chazal, Uvisorim HaKadoshim, Oile Shem Musab Ava Pirushoi, His chaimus letet ulaanik lenot tnai. Love is a choice that you make to give and to bestow good, to nurture, to nourish, to give. Let's just use the word give for now. I don't know why I use the tet ulaanik lenot tnai, unconditionally. A couple of interesting things out of this. Ava is not something that happens to you. We in the Western world think that Ava is something that happens. Something outside happens, and then you get this warm feeling, you know, this emotional feeling of pleasure that you get because of something that happened outside of you, and that's called Ahava. Well, that has a valid place in the world as well. But that's not the Torah's perspective on Ahava, and it can't be. I'll tell you why, because the Torah commands you to love. If the Torah commands you to love, it must be that there's a Bechir involved there. What happens if nothing happens outside of me to make me click and fall in love? You know, Cupid didn't shoot me with his arrow, and therefore I just don't love. How can you command me to do something that I can't do? I mean, love is something that you know, either love someone or you don't. The Torah is telling you to choose to love, and you can choose to love everyone. You have a chiv to love everyone. You have to love every yid. You don't have to like every yid, by the way. It doesn't say you have to like everyone. You have to love. So what does it mean, love? So in the context we're talking about now, and by the way, this is awesome. This is not something that you attain in 3 days. You want to become an unconditional giver like Hashem is, so that's a lifetime's work. And you're going to have a lot of setbacks and falls and ups and downs or whatever. It's not not something you take on and you decide to become an unconditional giver, and now you're an unconditional giver. That's not how it works. Funny, you have to start with that, but it's very, very hard because we have needs and we have wants and we take us as well. And to get to the point where you're cool giving with no speck of any taking is not possible. Shimon Shkop says this before, that we can never become like Hashem in this aspect because we can only get close to it, but we can't get there totally. Even the level Rav Shimon's talking about is a lifetime's work, and very few people are ever going to get there. To totally mevatel yourself and still be yourself. Mevatel yourself doesn't mean you become a nothing. Mevatel yourself means you become an everything. We mentioned this the other day, but everything you become is not for you, it's for somebody else. To do and to give to Klal Yisrael and to everybody else. So these are high madrigas, and as I mentioned many times, yeah, we're describing an ideal. This is Ashkafa. It means this is what you need to know. Now you go and you see how you're going to get from where you are to where you need to get to. That's a long, complex, difficult journey. So that's what I'm just warning you before, because I don't want you coming out of here now thinking that's it, I've arrived. I'm now the unconditional giver, because it'll blow up in your face. It doesn't come so easily. We have underlying drafts and pulls and tugs, and you have to work it out very, very carefully. It's a long, gentle process. Find one small area, one small, first of all, analyze where you actually are holding in this level of unconditional giving. You may already be well on the way. Some people are just naturals. Some people might have heard about this and have been working on it for a while. I don't know where everybody's holding, but I'm saying take one small area, if you're just starting out, and with one particular person, and try and develop it and get a sense and a feel for it, and then you'll see what your inner reaction is to giving, and then getting kicked in the teeth and continue to give, and continually doing that. That's not so easy. We'll touch on a little bit of now where it comes natural with your children. You get it as a natural. In other areas, you actually have to work very hard with it. So that's really where it's all at. That's where it starts and finishes. So it says like this. That's the Torah's understanding of Ava, is the hischaivus, the choice, the decision, the obligation that I take upon myself to give unconditionally. When a person decides for himself, he makes a choice that he's going to give to a certain person whatever this person needs, without any thought of getting anything back. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, I give. Hischaivus zeh yutzeres es regesh ha'ava. It's that undertaking that develops, and that giving, like the Pesach says, Ava is half, is to give. That's what develops the emotion, the feeling of love. That's the area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into a person, the feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into a person for your children from the day they're born. Now, I'm not sure if they're klal ma'yeh itad atidon, where litzolos ha'maluli legroim, when a child's born, you don't know what's going to come out of this child. You don't know how much tzoros he's going to give you, you know, problems, whatever. Who knows what it's going to be? And yet, there's this undertaking, automatically almost, of his hives to give this child whatever he needs under any circumstances. We call Malcolm Overton. We call Abizu, he, the hargeshes, his hives, shadam, abish, klapetzetzot. The person feels obligated to his descendants. You have children, whatever, you feel obligated, you feel responsible. And therefore, the responsibility brings you to this unconditional giving, and that's what develops the love that a parent has for a child. And
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
The idea that giving automatically results in unconditional love, it seems that a person could actually feel resent if they are to give to someone that doesn't deserve it. Is that really a klal? Giving necessarily results in unconditional love?
I warned you, this is a long journey. You're going to have a lot of setbacks. You're going to give, you're going to undertake to give unconditionally, and the person you're giving to is going to kick you in your teeth, and you're going to resent it. And then you go back to the drawing board. You know, chinami. This is a long, long journey to get to the point where you are so giving that even the negative responses you get from the people you're giving you, are you going to give? I don't know if you don't have teenagers yet. But wait,
yeah,
till your kids become teenagers. Wait till your kids become teenagers. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how many smiling faces there are out there of those who have teenagers. But yeah, you'll see. Not that they're bad. It's just teenagers are supposed to be kind of focused on themselves, and they become very kind of self-centered. And you continue to give, and you don't always get back what you want. In many relationships like that, but with kids it's a bit easier because it comes naturally. That's what he's saying. In other areas you have to work on it. But if Rabbi Ephraim, if you were wrong and I had to disagree with you, then this would be easy, you know. Then becoming an unconditional giver would be easy because I just give unconditionally and I pull the saddle. No, there is the resentment, you have to see where that resentment's coming from. Is it coming from a taking mode? By the way, you can't be a fool either. You can't keep giving to somebody who's using your giving to hurt, to do damage, whatever. Giving sometimes means not giving. Giving sometimes means taking. There's a complex sugya. We're just talking about the fundamental shayish of this year. But yeah, this is not a small subject. It's what being human and being Jewish is about. It's at that fulcrum where giving and taking meets. And as I mentioned, Rav Shimon Schwab says that for a human to get to the ultimate level is kulu, unconditional giving, is not even shayach, because we have human dynamics, and those human dynamics need certain things. So yeah, it's you see about great people, how far they stretch this unconditional giving, you know, how they were able to mamash bestow good and go out of their way to bestow good on mamash, their enemies, people that were trying to hurt them. A famous story about Rabbi Yossi Chaim Sonnenfeld, who one of the secular leaders, who was mamash his arch enemy, whatever, and he was ill and he needed to get into the hospital. They wouldn't take him into the hospital because he'd been to the missionary hospital in those days. Anyone who went to the missionaries, the Christians opened the hospital, and the Rabbanit had made it the kind of that anybody who went to that hospital afterwards could never go to Shari Tzedek. Shari Tzedek was a hospital run by Dr. Wallach, who was a Fum Yid, proper Ben Torah. And he ran the hospital, and he had this klal. If you went to the missionary hospital, you can't ever go to Shari Tzedek. And this person was in this hospital, in the missionary hospital, and he needed to get into Shari Tzedek. The mission hospital couldn't save his life, and only Shari Tzedek had what he needed. And there was no ways that Dr. Wallach was going to take him into the hospital. If Yosef Ham Sonnenfeld walked out to go down and to arrange that Wallach would put him into the hospital. This was a guy who was mamish, the declared arch enemy of Yosef Ham Sonnenfeld. The story came out because this Yid, whose life was saved by Yosef Ham Sonnenfeld, never knew about it. A cousin of his had come to ask the Rav to help him. Anyway, after he was better, he was speaking at a big anti-religious rally. And he spoke very, very sharp words about Rabbi Yossi Chaim Sonnenfeld. His cousin of his was in the audience. And he got up and he came onto the stage and he said, "Who are you talking about? You know that this was the man that saved your life?" People were shocked. It was a famous story that happened in, where are we talking about, the turn of the century? So, no, even later, probably in the 20s, the 30s. Anyway, so that's a very high level of unconditional giving, where you don't just write a letter. The cousin just wanted the roof to write a letter. He said, "No, letters don't help when you're saving lives." He got up, he walked, it was raining, I think it was a storm, it was very hot. Lozochev, we knew what the details were, but to get from the old city to Shari Tzedek in those days wasn't just a taxi ride, it was a serious mission. And he went and he wouldn't go inside. He called the doctor, he stood outside, and he was there often, because they knew him well. "Well, why don't you go inside?" He said, "I'm not coming inside until you admit this patient." A little funny, what are we talking about? We're talking about the guy's mamash was his arch enemy, was making his life a misery. That's a very high level of unconditional giving, and I promise you, Wilson Hanson didn't have any resentment to the club when this guy went up afterwards and started screaming and shouting, because he was that kind of a giant. But we have to know where we're holding, and if you push this too far, in Achilami, you're going to have resentments and it's going to blow up in your face. Or you're going to start feeling like a hero, and then you start making demands. It's a very delicate mission. We discussed this at length. We went into this very, very deeply and at length in the Bais Yehudi, in the Marriage Sefer. Well, that's where this is very, very relevant. Yeah, it's very relevant as well with Hashem. So, it's not something that you just start doing and think, "Well, now we're out," and that, because, yeah, the whiplash can be quite scary. I hope that answers your question. Because there's a warning in what I'm saying here, because people tend to take this very lightly, and they think, "Oh, I'm going to be an unconditional giver," because it sounds like a very nice thing. It's very liberating. But you can give and have no expectations back, so no one can hurt you, no one can do anything to you. You just chose to give, and you're being like Hashem now, and it's a very beautiful thing to do. And you give. And no matter what they do, they can't touch you, because you're beyond that. That's a very nice place to go to. but it's not, it doesn't happen quickly. Fine, I hope that's clear.
And what makes it seem like love is really...
Thank you.
Say what?
Makes it seem like love is really near us, like the gvura of keeping on going and keeping on going through all the rubbish, and then feel this love to Yira.
Well, once it relates a new subject that we have to define as well. We're going to define Yira. We're going to see that Yira and love are generally very much two sides of the same coin. In fact, if you look in the Sharia, if you look in the Orchid Tzaddikim, his definition of Yira is almost identical to the Rambam's definition of Ava. So we have to be careful when we start using terms like Yira and Ava. We have to know what we're talking about. No, it's not. I mean, you're out. To get to Tiferes, you need the Chesed and the Gvura. Of course you need the balance. We're talking about now an undertaking, a decision. I'm going to decide to give and bestow good to this person, irrespective of what happens. As you go through the practice of the Gvura, you're going to need a whole range of tools. You're going to need a wide range of responses in order to get back to what the Rambam calls the middle path, which is something we need to discuss as well. That's for when you're dealing with process, you have to understand the Rambam's, that non-understandable Rambam's middle path. That's not the time, that's not the subject. If you remind me at the beginning of a session, we can discuss the Rambam's middle path. It's very, very important that you have that understanding clear. People misunderstand the Rambam's middle path terribly, and it leads to mediocrity. That's not what the Rambam was describing. I'll just give you one indication. You shouldn't be too happy or too sad. You should be in the middle. That means when you go to a funeral and when you go to a wedding, you look exactly the same. Because you're now in the middle, you're not too sad, you're not too happy, and wherever you go, you're just the same. That can't be true. Everybody here understands that that cannot be correct. Correct? Fine. You can unmute when you say correct. I can't hear you if you mute. What I'm saying, well, it's, we have to understand the Rambam's middle path. But Nachinami, you're right. In order to achieve this unconditional giving, this level, in order to work on it, you're going to need a whole range of tools. It's not just Ava Vayira. You're going to need a lot of different stuff. You're going to need patience. Okay. Fine. All avoiders like that. All avoiders, when you're working on one thing, but you need a lot of different things to bring along in order to aid you in that avoiding. Yeah. And that's why the more tools you've got in your bag, the more you develop, the more likely you are to succeed. You can't become a one-trick pony. A lot of people out there, they have one thing, you know, that's their thing. You saw this when the corona thing started. It was quite fascinating to watch. Everybody who had their thing pinned the corona on their thing. You know, like you're a Shmuel Saloshenbaum, well then this is because of Shmuel Saloshen. You're talking in Shulga, then this is the talking in Shul, whatever. We would tend to pin things on what our one-trick pony is. No, you have to be multifaceted. You have to have a whole range of responses, and we'll discuss that. Mitz Hashem, remind me on Sunday. We'll discuss the Rambam's what's called range of responses. That's the middle path. We will see Rabbi Friedlander's Amoridika understanding of that Rambam. It makes it very practical. We need it here. You're already talking about how we do this practically. You need that Rambam. Okay. Zuhu gama metzias ha'amiti shiyesh lashtis oisoi api ashkafas atoyu v'yachas shaben ish liishtoi. As we mentioned, this is a big chunk of the safe on Bais Yudi. This is what you need in marriage. When each of the couples, certainly when I, never mind the other one, I can't make demands on another one, because otherwise it's not unconditional, but when I take to give unconditionally, and no matter what, I continue to give and give and give. That's the whole, giving as an act of taking, different, might look like giving, but it's actually taking. It might look like taking, but it's actually giving. There's a whole sugya there, and we spent a lot of time on that. If you want to go do Chazara, it's in Bais Yudi, and it's in English as well. Okay, we've got 2 minutes left. Let's turn over the page. When I put a zoo, t'monim ha'pela ha'otzum, v'achiri sh'anifshe sh'gibram avinu. In this Nakuda, what we just mentioned now, there lies the unbelievable, wondrous chiddush that Avraham Avinu was able to reveal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol ma'anyen sh'nischayv letetlo lelo tnai. What are you saying? Hashem wants us, he's interested in us, mitchayeving ourselves, obligating ourselves to give to him unconditionally. Kifi she'erchovnu be'eris advarim el, as we mentioned above. Ritzoni shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu tehetiv lanu, we're just summarizing the whole sefer now in a few lines, and then we'll stop with that. Hashem, we say, it wants to give us. That's what he wants. The given shetachli satove he adreikas boyis barach. The ultimate good he can give us is the I'm translating dreikas here the way I heard it. It's a Gavaldika translation. It's a working translation. The resonance. He wants us to resonate with him. He wants us to be able to function with him. Umichiben shatove gemure he atove sheinim oboishes ponim. But to have the best good, it has to be a good that comes without the embarrassment of having got something for nothing. He creates a world in which he sort of, so to speak, needs us, so that we can give to him, and then we'll earn the good that he wants to give us, so that it's not the bread of shame. Chazal b'tzoyis b'milim Yisrael mefarnesim la'avim shebeshamayim. If you want a makor for this, I don't know where this Chazal is. You know, look it up, search for it. Chazal say that Klal Yisrael mefaneses gives panasa to Hashem. Interesting, we're standing and screaming to Hashem every day for panasa, and he's screaming to us for panasa because we're mefanesing him. What does this mean? We mefanes Hashem. Panas sheniten lo kiyochol mashu tzarich mitanu. What's panasa? Panasa is something you need, and we're giving Hashem, no, not panasa the way we need panasa. We're giving Hashem what he needs. What does he need? He needs to be able to give us. And when we enable him to give us, we're giving him the opportunity to give to us. That's called the panasa that we mefanes as Hashem. And then he gives us the eternal good that we get as a result of having done what he asked us to do. And then we will merit, Bezrat Hashem, soon, נסענג על השם ולענס מזיב שכנוסה, שזו תכליס כל העדונים שבועילם. ולא שונה מסילוס ישרים, that's the purpose of all the pleasure, everything in the world is all for that, to be able to have pleasure from השם. וזו מערכס נפלא ועצומה שקורש ברוך וברוי ברוכם אחד ויוצא, כדי שנייך לדבק בו לקבל ממנו, is תכליס הטובה. That's the unbelievable system that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, which enables us to be the benefits of His infinite goodness. And that's a goodness we can't even begin to understand, because that's a goodness that just keeps getting better and better and better. And when you have something that's good, you have a chocolate bar, which is good when you start, but after a while it gets like whatever. No, you're going to be eating a chocolate bar then, it's going to get to the yachad, not a chocolate bar, but kilo chocolate bar, and it's going to be getting tasting nicer and nicer all the time. Infinite. This Lanus Mizif Shkinoso is going to be getting better and better all the time. So that's what Hashem has in mind for us. But we have to earn it so that it doesn't have this blemish. So that's what we said many times. In order to earn it, we have to give. That giving has to be like Hashem's giving, which by definition has to be unconditional. Hashem can't give because He wants to get something back, because Hashem doesn't get anything back. So therefore, definition, Hashem's giving is unconditional. If we want to be like Him, we have to learn to give unconditionally as well. To Him, in Achinami, but also in ICUD aspects, in our Bein Olam L'Chaveiro, and in the Yaakov Avinu world, in the Bein Olam L'Chaveiro aspect, that's where this comes in. Okay, I've spoken enough. Have a wonderful Shavuos, good Yom Tov, and Metz Hashem, we'll see you in South Africa. You can mamash become a Talmud Chochem learning through the night. Usually we get like 3 hours. I remember those nights in South Africa, you're back in the Beis Midrash at 7:30 after the Suda. What time Shkia there now? Mamash early, and Mates is like 7 o'clock in the morning, and you get...
Yeah, Shkia is like 5:30, basically.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's a long night, so you can mamash, Shakovitsky's old, that's all I used to say. In Israel, you can learn a few hours. In South Africa, you can become a Talmud Chochem on Leil Shavuos. So, take good care of yourself. A good mamash, Simchadika Yontov. And Besudas Tovus, Yeshua's Berufus, Metz Hashem will meet back on Sunday as usual. Bezrat Hashem.
Amen. Same Amen. For Rabbi. Yeah.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You,
Rosh Hashem.
Talk to
him
now.
Good Yom Tov, Rebbe. A good Yom Tov, Rebbe, as well. Go to Shom, everybody. Take good care.